Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, everyone. Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
Shine. Okay, Kylie.
Hi.
Hi.
Kylie. Hi.
¿Cómo estás?
I would like to order a cappuccino with oat milk, chocolate on top.
Got
and
it.
A little some Parmesan truffle fries, por favor.
Yeah. With coffee.
With café.
With, yeah, of course. My name is Josie. Okay.
And my name is Yasmin, and I actually would rather die than have coffee with my fries.
Why? It's a great combo.
You're lying, Josie.
I personally will have coffee with anything. You've seen me do it.
Yeah, but truffle fries?
They're not ideal, but that's what came to my mind.
You like, anyway, okay.
I'm Alicia Pascual Peña, and I'll take a Cuban or Dominican black coffee or chai.
A Cuban or Dominican black man. Right now.
And I'll have
we don't need none of those.
I'll have a La Croix, please. What?
Thank disgusting. You. Anyways.
We accept all
and this
of
is
them.
Dare we say, and so it is air we eat.
And you're watching Disney Channel.
I'm breaking. And you're watching the Disney. This is Dare We Say. So you guys, I went to a Lebanese wedding this weekend in San Francisco.
It looked like a Bridgerton set piece.
It was a Bridgerton set piece. We did it. We, as if I was
you
the one
married?
Getting married. It was at the San Francisco City Hall and it was beautiful. It looked like, and also that's where I had my prom. The San Francisco City Hall. I remember like everyone was dancing and I was like, I'm pretty sure like me and my ex-boyfriend back then like hooked up right there.
Wow.
And
it was, like, so really sentimental.
Really sentimental. Like I was thinking about it and I was like, this is aw, like this is so cute. Him and I. Fun fact, he was, oh God.
What?
He was white.
Oh no, I'm gonna throw up. Okay, hold my hair.
What?
He was Blue Lives Matter.
Oh!
Get out.
Yeah, my boy. This was a senior in high school.
Why were you there?
Senior in high school. This was 2015.
And he took you to your prom.
2016. Yeah, I didn't know much back then. That's a lie. We fought about it constantly, and now I'm like, I'd rather my morals. I will not swallow that for anyone.
Don't.
What a journey.
Don't. I didn't say shit.
All I said was don't.
Alicia looked at me when I said swallow, and she looked at me. Anyway, so the wedding was gorgeous, but I had so you see this necklace. If we could do a zoom in on this necklace. It's the Lebanese outline.
Tell them what to do.
Me. If we can zoom in. And someone comes up to me. This white woman comes up to me and she goes, what island is that?
Get out.
Swear to God. No, she was
wait,
like,
wait, wait. Were you not at a Lebanese wedding?
I was, but white people also come to Lebanese weddings.
Wow, fun fact.
Believe, fun fact. We don't discriminate.
We let white people get into anything these days.
But why would a white person at a Lebanese wedding not know what Arabic letters look like?
I'm it's not all Arabic letter. It's the outline of a country.
Oh, you
this
have.
One.
Oh, I had that.
I
too.
Have a different Palestine. Necklace. Mama got me this one, and it's Lebanon. And she and I was like, if 2 + 2 = 4, right? It's 5 + 5 = 10, right? Then what the fuck is with this? Like, I'm just like, what is going on? You don't think that? Okay. Anyways, and she was like, Oahu, and I was like, no.
Oh, God. Oahu.
Like Oahu. Like, does this look like Hawaii?
Like the culture, not Hawaii. the culture of the wedding at which you're at
yeah.
is this country.
Is this country, girl. But you know what? We're just gonna, she was a sweetheart, but I was like, aww.
I'm not surprised though. Josie and I were on set and we saw it firsthand. A white woman asked my amazing, talented hairstylist, Porshana, what state was around her neck on a necklace. And she had to tell her it was Africa. And I was like, there's no way she's being serious. But also, this was also the same very surprising white woman who went up to another black hairstylist on our set and said, happy birthday, Porshana.
Oh, she's like, oh, so there can be more than one black woman.
Yeah.
Got
it was really
it.
Mind-blowing got you, for her. Got it was really, you, got it was really fascinating.
But
I'm glad you enjoyed the wedding. It did look insane.
The wedding was beautiful. And, like, the bride and groom, like, genuinely, like, they're so in love. And it just made me feel like, and when, like, the father, who's, like, my doctor, like, he's incredible, like, walked her down the aisle, I just started crying because then I just thought about, like, my dad walking me down the aisle and, like, my mom and just seeing, like, one day I can't wait to get married and spend the rest of my life with someone. Oh. Is it going to be anytime soon? I'd rather skin myself alive.
Have you but, always yearned to be married? Yeah.
Yes.
Seriously.
My greatest...
Like, since you were little, you were like, I want to get married.
Yes. Since I was a kid, I'm most excited to have kids, have my own kids. Obviously, whether I can or not, or whether I decide to adopt.
Yeah, of course. They're your children.
Exactly.
I kind of want a Sandra Bullock it.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Sandra Bullock.
Oh, you mean her in real life.
Not the Blind Side.
You
thought the Blind Side. You said, Wilkie, we're going to find a man on the side of the street and we're going to have a white savior moment. Please, Josie.
I was like, you want a Blind Side?
No.
Bitch, that was the biggest white savior film of all time.
She kind of
Although
did.
She is the antithesis of that character because she is such a progressive queen. But she's a good white. Lisa and I have this thing where we identify good whites, and she is a good white.
Why are you telling the public our tea?
Well, because it's just the truth. But
I do love Sandra in person, like as an individual. I love her.
I was a junior, we had to write letters to ourselves in my religion class, and the first for 30 years from now. And I was like, let me think logically. So I was like, okay, you've had three husbands. You've been charged with fraud, but you won the case. But you won.
And won the case.
Your kids
wow,
are
she
like
made it out.
They're the next like Mary Kate and Ashley, like Paris Hilton esque, but with less opioids. And yeah, I had written that. My religion teacher came up to me and he was like, "This is really strange, but like I kind of believe it." He believed it. And he was like, normally I would tell someone to redo it, but like, this feels right for you. And this was like before I transitioned, which is even
harder. We talked about like you as a mom one day, like your kids are going to be going to like soccer practice or like honestly theater camp while you're like picking them up in the nicest Range Rover or Tesla.
You're going to be the coolest mom ever.
You're going to be the coolest mom ever. Well, you're also going to be the coolest. Both of you guys, you're going to be the best aunts to my kids ever.
Your kids are going to be fucking menaces, Yasmeen. You are going to have
Why do you say that?
Menaces.
And you're going to empower them to be insane.
Why do you say that?
No, but actually they say it skips a Jenny.
You're going to be like creative expression. And then
no, my kids are going to write with like, God knows what, like dirt on the walls and be like, I'm watching you. And I'll be like, that's art.
Yeah.
Like, they you know do how, like, say Kim and Kanye will say like Northwest, like fucking devil drawings. And they're like, our kid is so talented. No. And I'm just like,
Josie and I have had so many conversations about how we will like be helping with each other's like kids. And yeah, how we're just going to be like polar opposite moms, but it's going to be good. Cause our kids will need like the opposite energy.
Well,
we've practically talked about co-parenting, not in a relationship.
Yeah, which we could do. Our children would hate their lives. But something that I worry about, too, is because I see so many people with the craziest fucking parents and they're normal. And then I see such nice, normal parents with the craziest kids. And it concerns me when I do nice things because I'm like, fuck, like maybe I shouldn't be this nice because my kid
not
is probably
you gaslighting yourself
be
to be
opposite.
A mean person.
Josie,
that
should
actually
you
not let you do.
Yes, no, I agree. You should honestly be mean
me
for the rest of your life. Yeah, you should.
Right,
you should
like
be
raised just like the most iconic children.
Right, exactly, Josie. I think you and I from now we should just be absolute bitches to everyone we know. We don't talk to anyone, and so we're investing in ourselves in the future. So then our kids are actually iconic individuals, but we're the fucked up people. Do you know what I mean?
Speaking of investing into our future, one thing that we can do to ensure that our future is going to be a good one, where we're safe and not literally losing our rights, like my grandmother's losing hair, is by voting.
That segue. So, everyone, round of applause for that segue.
Yeah.
Round of applause for that segue.
Today,
everyone, just see, like, the audio engineers and the camera officers are like, yay, Josie! Amazing
so
work. You're
we're
so
talking
right
about
that.
We're talking about voting today.
Yeah. Okay, so today we are tackling the spookiest topic, the scariest topic. This keeps me up at night. It makes me shiver. There sends shivers down my spine. It's what? The midterms. We hear so much shit from our peers, like, well, I live in California, so my vote doesn't matter. Or like, I hate both candidates, so like, I don't know who to vote for. Maybe I just shouldn't vote. Well, that's like not okay, A. And B, I know this can be really disheartening and really exhausting. I understand that. So we're going to quell your fears and get into some big
questions. We're going to eat quail live on camera.
So we're going to eat quail live on camera, raw, real, visceral.
And we're going to just took out the box.
We're going to be real. And we're going to discuss things. We're going to discuss the hoaxes, the facts, the truths about voting and organizing. Plus, we'll share our top 10 hottest ways to vote and be civically engaged. Stay tuned.
Hi, guys. Don't forget to follow us at Dare We Say on Instagram and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/darewesay.
All right. We need to talk about fashion, the styles, the cultural impact, but also the impact on people and the planet. Fashion can be a dirty industry, and usually it is. And its environmental impact is no secret. And there's a podcast we're loving at the moment that talks about this very problem. Hot Buttons is a show about the future of fashion and culture on a changing planet.
Hosted by renowned journalists Christina Binkley and Rachel Kibbe and Shilla Kim Parker, two fashion entrepreneurs and change makers, they debate and discuss the breaking news, industry moves, cultural trends, and tech breakthroughs that are shaping sustainable fashion. And they have fun too. Fashion Month, the latest Balenciaga collection, they're here for all of it. If you love fashion and care about its impact on the planet, which you should, Hot Buttons is a show for you. So find and follow Hot Buttons wherever you listen to your podcast.
Dare We Say is brought to you by Squatty Potties.
Squatty Potties.
Alicia and I, it's a known fact. I feel like everyone knows.
It's a part of our daily life at this point.
It's a part of our personality at this point that Squatty Potty is everything to me. My life might be falling apart. Yes, everyone, I bleached my brows. But there's one thing that stays consistent, and that is the Squatty Potty.
You know what? Men may not be there for you. Your politicians may not be there for you. Fuck you, Nancy. But you know what will always be there for you is a Squatty Potty. I did have someone try to steal one from my home.
And so that just goes to show the Squatty Potty puts your body, you guys. It puts your body in a natural squatting position. Our bodies were designed to poop this way. Our bodies weren't designed to poop like half laying down. That's not going to help your bowels. Your bowels want to be literally scrunched up so it's easier for the shite to come out of your anus. Clinically proven to help you poop better.
As difficult as it is for me to talk about poop, facts are facts, guys. It just makes your life better. It is clinically proven to make the way that you poop easier and better for you. And also, they're like kind of cute. Like the girls have kind of convinced me because I was like, I just don't want to have that thing out. But there's so many options. Like it fits in every bathroom. It comes in white, wood, clear, folding, travel, marble pattern. Like it's everything that you need. And just because we know that you're going to love it, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee. But we know that you're going to be obsessed with it. Over 8 million stools sold, okay? And there's over 10,000 five-star reviews.
Listen, it's clinically proven that hot people have IBS. That's the Harvard study. Will I provide that study? Absolutely not. So because we have irritable bowel syndrome, it's hard to shit. But with the Squatty Potty, it makes things so much easier. I look forward to having my daily shites. Just my parents are going to freak out listening to this. Sorry, it's a human thing. Like it's something important. And the fact that Squatty Potty is kind enough to endorse Dare We Say, I'm in love with you. I'm in love with
you. We're grateful because they make our life better and we're about to make your life better. Because we love you, we're going to give you a discount. And if you know anything about us, we love to save some bread. Okay. So if you guys want to get into this great deal, you should go to squattypotty.com/dare. Squattypotty.com/dare for 20%, y'all. 20% off of your purchase.
Let me just run that back one more time. That's squattypotty.com/dare. Got it? Good. Dare We Say is brought to you by Smile Actives. Are you self-conscious about your smile due to stains? Are your teeth aging you? Popular foods and drinks are known to stain. Coffees, I drink 5 a day. Some people have that hot girl cigarette smoke. That's not good for your teeth. The wine stain, I drink so many glasses a night. So what will brighten your smile? I think about it constantly. Well, I'll tell you what. Smile Actives. Smile Actives is a safe, effective, easy to use, and will keep you smiling proudly. 97%. No, let me say that again. 97% of Smile Active users in a clinical trial reported up to 6 shades wider on average, all within 30 days.
Like, have you ever wished that you had a wider and brighter smile? I know I have.
Yes, yes.
Well, before you visit a dentist, you should know that their whitening treatments can be very expensive. And it's not just the price, okay? You also have to book the appointment and schedule time away from work or family to sit in a dentist's office, which none of us like, and then undergo the procedure, which is a hassle and cumbersome. But fortunately, now you can try Smile Actives at home or anywhere, anytime. Smile Actives offers a safe and affordable alternative to those expensive whitening procedures. Simply add Smile Actives Pro Whitening Gel to your regular toothpaste. It's been formulated with PolyClean technology to boost stain removal and deliver active whitening ingredients into the teeth's grooves and crannies to get better whitening. Smile Actives makes a teeth whitening gel that can simply be added to your toothpaste every time you brush your teeth. So no change in your routine, no extra time, yet people will start commenting on your whiter, brighter smile in just days. Smile Actives is the whitening boost your favorite toothpaste needs to give you the smile that you deserve.
I've been using Smile Actives for the last week, and I swear to God, I FaceTimed my mom, and she goes, your smile looks whiter. Did you get like your teeth whitened? And I smiled to her and said, no, mom, it's Smile Active. Take it from me. I don't like fuck around with my teeth. Like, it's very important to me to always have the whitest, brightest smile. And I have that now thanks to Smile Active. So this is what we're going to do for you, okay? I want you to visit smileactives.com/dare today to receive our special buy one, get one free offer, plus free shipping and handling. That's smileactives.com/dare.
All righty, guys. It is October.
It's October.
It feels insane. Like, we've gone through so much of this year. So that means that it is spooky season. And the midterms are right around the corner. They are approaching. Yeah. So I'm not going to lie. This shit is getting crazy and really scary.
Oh, my God.
I know, right?
Crazy. Yeah. Wait. It's October.
Is she an actress?
No,
is she
wait,
an
not.
Actress?
I'm
or
not crying, kidding.
Cry.
I wait, see I'm tear, not kidding. Tears. I'm
no,
not kidding.
We're not
I'm
starting
not...
the conversation until there's a tear coming out of her fucking eyeball.
I'm
Josie's
actually worried about
there.
Her mental health.
It's almost there. Push.
Wait.
There.
And she got the call
yes,
back.
Yes! Wait, you guys. Actually, I'm so shook by the fact that it's October. Like, I promise that I'm okay. But it's October. I just always forget about October as a month. Oh, and to wow. think that this is
okay,
happening.
Okay, we have all we need to see. You got the call back. Now I'm actually worried for your mental health.
Yeah, if that's what I'm saying. Alicia, okay, Josie, we'll check in.
We okay, love you. Sorry. And mental health check. We'll see. We're going to see you in December.
Everyone give a round of applause for Josie's tear. She got the part. Incredible work.
And we also love her dearly, and we'll have a conversation after.
Yeah, exactly.
As we see, kids, October is a brazy ass time for us. And there's so much at stake right now. So much to lose.
so much beef,
to gain.
So much steak. So much veal.
Yeah,
so much
all
quail.
Of it. And our greatest weapon against some of these scary things, especially politically, to combat a potential red wave is organizing and voting.
Yep.
And with so many voter suppression laws recently passed and an insane amount of disinformation online, we wanted to kick off the final stretch of election with answering some of the most frequently asked questions about voting and getting involved as young people and the importance of that. And before we jump into all of this, I wanted to share a quick little experience that I unfortunately had in 2020, because voter suppression is real and voter intimidation is real. It's not some mythical issue Mm-mm. happening in some faraway land. It affects people on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And I think that we don't hear voter suppression stories enough.
And that's on purpose, because they don't want...
Yeah.
these stories to come out because they want to act like this is a fair, this is a real democracy when quite frankly, no, it's not. Alicia?
Yeah. So as you guys know, in 2020 was my first time voting in a presidential election. And because I'm a nerd, I was way too hyped. I was super excited. I wore like a little...
I can imagine you were like the voting and you're like, just like I voted sticker.
I came in my jeans.
Yeah,
like,
you did.
I came in my like off color shirt. Like it said like no justice, no peace. I had my bun, my hoops, and I was just way too freaking excited. And I went with my mom and my dad. But very long story short, I got up to the booth and an elderly white woman was like, "Do you have your ID?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And I gave her my ID and it was my permit at the time because I didn't have a driver's license. And she goes, "Are you sure you're from this area and this is the center that you're supposed to be voting at?"
Which area was it?
I was in Westchester County, which if you know anything about like the demographic of Westchester County, it's one of the richest counties in the country. Yeah. So it's predominantly affluent and white. So I didn't, you know, I'm not up in arms about that. I'm like, okay, she's doing her due diligence. It's a regular question. I said, yeah, I'm 100% sure this is the place that I'm supposed to be voting. And she goes, "Are you sure that you know that?" And I was like, "All right, yeah, yeah, I am." She goes, "Do you live in this area?" And I go, "Yes, I do." And she goes, "You don't live anywhere else. Are you sure that you are actually registered to vote?" And I was like, "I promise you, I know I'm registered to vote." And then she goes, "Where were you born?"
That question.
And I was like, "I was born in New York." And it starts to get dark. And I have people next to me with three other poll workers registering people in so that they can vote, and multiple series of people start to go. And I'm stuck with this elderly white woman. And it becomes such a problem that both of my parents walk up and she's like, "Do you have any other form of identification?" And I was like, trying to be as gracious and eloquent as possible to diffuse the situation, which I shouldn't have had to do. And I was like, "Listen, I was born in New York. I went to Harrison High School. I can prove to you that I went to Harrison High School." And my heart just dropped. I was so uncomfortable. And I just thought in the moment, not only how I was made to feel othered and ostracized in this moment as the only Black woman in this entire poll center at the time, but how these are the moments that turn people away from voting and being an active member in their society and democracy. And I understand on a daily basis why it can be hard for people to vote, but this is why we should be going out to the polls and making our voice heard. And unfortunately, with that interaction with that white woman, it didn't end there. She continuously was asking me questions that nobody else in the room was being asked. And I was so taken aback and so dumbfounded. Like, I had no words. And if you know anything about me, it's hard to get me silent. Like, your girl likes to talk. And I was just like, I was shocked because I was facing like voter suppression in real time.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you shitting me? Like, this is stuff that I've advocated against. This is stuff that I'm always talking about. And it's happening to me right now. And I felt like a little girl again. And I felt like I shouldn't have been speaking out. And I felt like maybe I did do something that was disrespectful. And my mom filed a complaint with the center because of how awful of a moment it was.
Yeah.
After we had gone home, she drove back and filed a complaint and said that that woman was neglectful and discriminatory. And that's how big of a deal this was. And I didn't talk to anyone about it except you guys, because I was so embarrassed as if I did something.
Which you didn't.
I didn't.
You didn't do anything at all.
Thank you.
No, that is an awful situation. And you had no fault in that. And the only person who should have responsibility for any of that is that woman who was clearly racist, and also the system that we live in that is built on these ideals that allow people and empower people like that woman to make it difficult for you as a Black woman to vote and participate in an election fairly, and is a perfect example of how this is a real problem. And as I said, an epidemic that faces our political system.
So I think let's just get this out of the way. What is voter suppression? We talk about voter suppression. We see it on the news. We see it on TikTok, Daily Mail, yada, yada, yada. But I think people forget, or at least don't know what voter suppression actually is, and different laws that are being passed to make voting harder for people in America, specifically different disenfranchised communities. So, ladies.
Yeah, well, I think it's important to first start out by talking about the fact that U.S. voter turnout rates are especially low relative to other democracies, and that this is even more true during midterm elections. I feel like I noticed that in my personal life, in my friend group, like when we're talking about voting, it's usually talking about general elections and not midterm elections. And the U.S. voter turnout usually hovers around 60%, but reached 66% in 2020. And we know that older groups are typically the most consistent voters. We're talking about your old Republican grandpa who knows the exact date that he needs to get his ballot in. And he, you know, spends all day watching Fox News and he knows exactly what his intentions are and what he wants to do. While young people like us have a historically lower turnout. And, you know, that could be due to just people being jaded by the state of the world and not having enough information, voter suppression. And the wealthier and the more educated you are, the more likely you are to vote. White voters have historically had higher vote turnout rates, and Black voter turnout rates are typically second highest. And they were actually like roughly even, I believe, in 2008 and 2012. And Hispanic and Asian American voter turnout are significantly lower. So I just think it's important to see the relationship that people have to voting, especially when it comes to an election like this, is not an incredibly good one, at least for non-white young people.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's also important to note that across the nation, there are actual laws and systems being perpetuated that oppress people and keep them from actually going out to the polls and creating tangible change. Like in 2020 alone, according to the Election Law Journal, it is most difficult to vote in New Hampshire, in Mississippi, Arkansas, Wisconsin, and Texas because of specific laws put in place that keep people from voting. And I also think that it's important to note that this isn't new, right? In the past, when we saw that African-Americans were first allotted the right to vote, it was literacy test, right?
Yep.
And poll taxes.
You had to prove.
And prove that you were intellectual enough to vote. And that kept Black people from voting. And unfortunately, that is still going on in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Right? Which, and things that we'll get into later in regards to like ID and long lines and waits and not enough polling centers or rejecting absentee ballots.
And you have to take the day off work and you might not get paid during that day. So you have to think about, do I get a day's worth of pay to feed my family or do I vote?
Yeah.
And so when we talk about that, and I think it also like 2021 was an unprecedented year for new voting laws. At least 24 new states have passed laws restricting voting according to 538 analysis. Florida, Georgia, Iowa, and Texas were particularly egregious examples of new anti-voter laws. So I know in Texas, eliminated curbside and overnight voting, eliminated drop boxes, created new confusing and poorly implemented requirements to vote. And so in the primary, absentee ballot rejection rates were as high as 30% in Texas, the most populous counties, compared to less than 1% in previous elections. Yeah. So that's not on accident.
No. And then we see in Georgia that there are new ID requirements for absentee voting, a new deadline for requesting an absentee ballot, and is now illegal to provide food or water to voters who are waiting in a long line. In Iowa, they dramatically shortened the amount of time for early voting and moved the deadline up to request an absentee ballot. Those are just a few examples of the ways that people are being oppressed in states around the country.
So the fact that you literally can't even bring someone who's in line to vote food or water, and we know that historically these lines are incredibly long and could be hours long, it's just an insane thing to do. Like, what is illegal about bringing someone a glass of water or a bottle of water while they're in line to vote? Like, that is literally insane.
And once again, this is not on purpose. And it's I constantly think of, is it the right? Is it the left? But it's like, why do Republicans want to oppress and suppress the vote so badly? It's because they're afraid of power. They're afraid of marginalized communities, and they're afraid of people taking back their power and speaking their voices. They're afraid of losing.
We know that they know that their beliefs aren't popular with the majority of Americans.
Yes.
And polls literally show that. That's just a fact. And if everyone voted, they'd lose. And in other words, they are afraid of our power. Our power. Yeah. And I mean, they're literally afraid. They're pussies and they're afraid of our power.
No. And also, like, with moving up the dates, it like infuriates me because they don't want people to have access to the information that they need to vote.
Yep.
Because we would be turning chairs. We would be turning the colors of states. Like, if it lacks our ability to actually have a voice, like I know, like, my everyday friend, it doesn't know the date that they need to enter in information. They on purpose make information complicated and make this a nuanced, gruesome process because they know the more that we get out to the polls, the more that things are going to change.
Yep.
Like, we are the most progressive, the most diverse generation that this country has ever seen.
Ever.
So they know that the more that we step into those booths, the more that things are radically changing.
It's
and giving you've had the... It's giving Nikki.
I want to touch on that, Alicia, because I think it's important to bring up. I hear a lot of people, and this is some people I've even heard.
Also, I just became like a little, what is that called? The volunteer in me wanted you to know, like, there are over 20 states that have same day registration. So don't let that scare you, kids.
And we're going to, at the end of the episode, we're going to provide resources and links to figure out where the nearest polling booths are, yada, yada, yada. So you have access and information. So I want to bring up how the people in power want to make things overcomplicated. They want to confuse you. They want to make things harder for you to vote. And inherently, it's oppressive. It's racist.
Yeah.
And it's unacceptable.
Yeah, no. Voter suppression specifically affects Black people, working class, minorities, disenfranchised people the most. Like, those groups, disenfranchised and minority groups, like the working class, Black people, people of a lower socioeconomic status, consistently face long lines to vote, higher absentee ballot rejection rates, and face greater turnout drops after polling place consolidations, likely due to a lack of affordable transportation options. And then when it comes to voter ID, we know that voters of color are less likely to have necessary identification.
Mm-hmm.
And some studies have suggested that voter ID laws cause higher drops in voter turnout among voters of color than amongst white voters, which is no surprise. Like, I don't think people understand how difficult it is when you are living in a city like the Bronx, like Detroit, like a city, quote unquote, that is urban, right? And to have to hop on a train, have to hop on public transportation, get an ID. Like most of my family members did not get their licenses till later in life, right? Like, my tia Chuchu, shout out to her, she's amazing, got her license at 32. So now you're telling me if she does not have a driver's license, even though she is a U.S. citizen, her children
are U.S. citizens,
were born here. She pays taxes. She is not able to vote because she doesn't have a driver's license, even though if she shows up with another form of identification, they do this on purpose because they know these places, these statutes in place, are going to affect people that do not think like most of the people in power,
completely.
Whether it's the right, whether it's people who are affluent.
One thing that really grinds my gears is when I hear friends say that they live in a blue state and, like, does their vote even matter? And to that, fuck yeah. Carrie Ann and Ava, your vote absolutely matters.
Carrie Ann and Ava from Dancing with the Stars.
We can use her. Cool.
Listen, your vote does matter. For one thing, not all Democrats are obviously going to be an amazing option. And they're not all wonderful people, just like how not all people are wonderful people. So you have to vote for the candidate that best represents your values. Local races, they often fall under the radar. So even in blue places, you might not have the policies that reflect your values. An example that our producer brought up was that in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, it's the only county in New England that has opted into a partnership and data sharing with ICE. And the sheriff's election this year may change that.
I think it's also important to note that, like, we can't get too comfortable as constituents. Like, these people work for us. It's really easy for us as young people, us as a generation in general, just as Americans right now, it's easy for us to get really comfortable and go, oh, well, we have the seats that we need, or this state is blue. But honey, if that last presidential election before the one that we just had with Trump showed you anything, is that you need to show up and show out, because a lot of people wrongly thought that the election was going to go their way, right? A lot of people got way too comfortable and were like, oh, like, a fascist like Trump is never going to get elected. And then that didn't happen because people didn't show up and people weren't active. And Angela Davis says it best. Local elections have global ramifications.
Say it again. I need you to say that again. Like that sentence.
Angela Davis says local elections have global ramifications.
Like, that's true.
So many activists and so many philosophers say, like, you may not do politics, but baby, politics will do you, honey.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
oh my God,
you
I love
might
that.
As well. Yeah, so wait. You,
and like, it
you
won't might, feel good.
No, honey.
And it's, you're not gonna leave happy.
You will not finish first. Babe.
You will not. You'll leave, you, no,
you'll
they
leave
don't care.
Chafed and dry. And
you might be
probably with the UTI, honestly.
With the UTI, and the cranberry juice will be sold out at Walgreens. And yeah. the medication.
And your gyno won't be able to see you for 3 weeks.
No, they
so
won't.
So it's going to suck. Well,
for,
so
for
you might
months.
As well do politics, babe. And do some due diligence and care.
The issues in local elections, though, it's important to mention that it's not always going to fall on traditional, like, Democrat, Republican lines. And yeah. In California, for example, like, I mean, let's talk about the housing policy, which has been an ongoing yeah. local and state issue for like a very long time. And we see it every day living in Los Angeles. And recently, the state passed new laws enabling duplexes and making it easier to transform commercial properties into housing in an effort to address the state's affordable housing crisis, which I think is an incredibly large point to bring up, especially living in a big city like L.A., where the housing crisis is such a big thing, and we're seeing so yeah. many people, you know, yeah. take to the street.
Yeah, and it's, I feel like, going back to your point, Josie, of like, oh, I hate both candidates, who do I vote for? I think when going about voting and deciding where do you stand, I really implore you to think about how human rights should not be politicized. Having a roof over your head should not be a Republican or Democrat thing. That should be a human thing. Having the right to choose what you want to do with your body, that is not a Republican thing and that is not a Democrat thing. Having health care, that is not a Republican or a Democrat thing. So I really think when you're voting, think about human rights at the fore. And our, and when I think of human rights, I also think our environment at the forefront of whatever decision you decide to vote. And also, I think there's some questions that we get into, like, oh, I just moved. How do I re-register to vote? Why is it important to vote? I'm busy. It takes time.
It really doesn't take a lot of time. And honestly, you could do it with a friend group. Like, I remember in the 2020 election when I voted for the first time, I did it with my best friends. I don't remember who I was. I think, was I with you, Yasmin, or Noelle, or Ali? Like, I think it was
with
Noelle
were,
and Ali.
We did it together at the house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like we all
did it together.
Yeah.
We all got into a car and drove around North Hollywood. And, like, I don't know, it's fun. And it's literally so easy. And there's also so many different options and ways to vote that is convenient for you. Obviously, depending on where you live, you may be able to request your ballot by mail, which is what I do when I fill it out at home or try to stop my mom from filling it out for me. I'm just kidding. Now my mom gets arrested for voter fraud. Now I promise. She never,
Please.
Never does that. But even though she definitely loves to tell me what her opinions are, I'm like, mother, I'm my own human. But in most states, early voting is also a great option, especially if you're incredibly busy. And yeah, I'd say we just recommend to go to vote before election day when lines are typically shorter and just to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
And it is worth the time because the time that you put in, the, you know, 20 minutes, the 30 minutes, the however long it takes that you put in to literally vote is timeless in its impact and in the product that you are going to see, especially when it comes to midterm elections in your day-to-day life.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I couldn't agree more. Like, I take it so seriously, the fact that people have died and fought for mm-hmm. my right to vote in this country.
Yep.
And I don't want to squander that. I empathize with people that are like, well, the system's broken. It's corrupt. I empathize with you, but it's like, baby, might as well do something rather than nothing. Like, your tax dollars go to these people. The things that they advocate for are going to affect you. Locally, they're extremely important, especially this midterms. Are you kidding me? There are 36 governors up. There's chief state official seats up for grabs. There's so many things right now on the ballot that will affect you. The way that your state's position on abortion, climate crisis,
education,
LGBTQ, all of those rights. Things are affected by the state representatives that you decide to either step in a booth and vote for this midterms or decide to not have a place in your government, because it's going to affect you regardless. Like, I don't think that people understand how important midterms are. Because also, who you voted to put as a president, their job only gets harder or easier advocating for the things that you care about and the things that you're passionate about based on who you decide to represent you on a state level. They represent you. It's literally in the name of what they do, honey. They're representatives. Yeah, so if you want them to do that, you might as well go in the booth. And to make your lives easier, we wanted to provide some information. Because I get it. It can be cumbersome and annoying to vote, but I promise you it's better to do so. There are literally resources online that will allow you to fill out a pre-ballot. So when you walk in, you already know who you want to vote for, the props that you care about.
For all information you'll ever need in regards to voting, go to votesaveamerica.com/volunteer. We'll be right back. So there's nothing hotter, there's nothing more sexy, nothing more attractive than a person who's civically engaged. So the girls and I did a little something for you. We did our due diligence and we made a list of the top 10 ways to be civically engaged and aggressively hot.
Number one, make a plan. Because knowledge is power, but knowledge is also sexy. So stay informed and knowledgeable about your federal, state, and most importantly, local elections.
Number two, text bank. Instead of drunk texting your ex, drunk text a total stranger. You wake up with no regrets the next morning. I would know.
Number three, persuade. Top? No. Bottom? No. Switch? Yes. Especially when you're switching from red to blue. It's never too late to convince a conservative to vote Dem or to be domed.
Yeah! That was so good. Number four, relational organizing. Get all your friends together and have an orgy of facts, a truth orgy. Woo!
Number five, call your congressperson. Are you looking for a new kink? Do you know that you can call your congressperson and tell them your wants and needs? And just maybe they'll ask for more. Ooh.
Oh! Number six, donate. Receiving is great, but nothing is quite sexier than a giver.
Number seven, door knock. If you're craving belittlement from a stranger and the satisfaction of a job well done, door knock.
Number eight, spread the word. Post a thirst trap and then direct people to votesaveamerica.com and give the people what they want.
Number nine, self-care. Pleasure yourself. This is a stressful month.
And lastly, number 10, vote. You owe it to everyone who's ever fought for your right to vote to do it. So get out there and fucking vote. Plus, nothing is sexier when someone walks in with the I voted sticker.
Take me out!
Why fuck people when you can just fuck the system?
So all in all, those are the top 10 ways to stay civically engaged and aggressively hot. See you at the polls.
Guys, that was our show.
I'm excited to get to the polls. I'll be working those polls day in, day out, especially in Orange County. Katie Porter, I love you.
Oh my gosh, she's amazing.
The political poll is so underrated. And it is something that I want to ride all night long. You know, get off the poll and go to the polls is what my mother always told me as a young child.
And is that what she said?
It changed who I am today. But honestly, I think we covered a lot of ground.
I think we did. I'm proud of us. I hope that people feel galvanized to go out and vote. I'm excited too for these midterms.
Want to go together?
We can make it a date. We'll make it a date with your friends.
Make it a date with your friends. Or honestly, if there's a really cutie, there's a cutie that you want to text, then say go to
are you
glitching.
Okay? You're malfunctioning.
I'm glitching, but
I think I ride your wave. Like,
you ride my wave.
Invite them on a date.
With someone you think is cute. Yeah, you guys can like get a COVID test in the morning, and then go to the voting polls, and then go to a retirement center.
It's giving 2022.
It's giving 2022. And I just want to say, like, we can post on the Instagram, but like, if you have a dating profile or anything, and there's like, you can drop links, you can have any of those like prompts. All of mine says, votesaveamerica.com/vote on each one. And I swear to God, I've gotten so many swipe rights. And those are the people you want to surround yourself with, people who actually give a shit about the world. So anyways, so I feel like all in all, with that, we say adieu. Go out there, vote, do your due diligence. It's your human right. And if you don't vote, I don't want to hear a fucking peep out of your mouth after this.
Yeah. Don't complain about shit you ain't willing to change.
In the name of the Father and the Son.
Amen.
Vote.
Amen. Vote. Woo!
Dare We Say is a Crooked Media production.
Caroline Reston is our showrunner, producer, and mommy. And Ari Schwartz is our producer and show daddy. Fiona Pastana is our associate producer, and Sandy Girard is the almighty executive producer.
It's hosted and produced by me, Josie Toda.
And me, Yasmin Hamadi.
And me, Alicia Pascual Peña.
Vasilis Fotopoulos and Charlotte Landis, they are both our engineers. Brian Vasquez is our editor and theme music composer. Our video producers are Matt DeGroot, Nar Melkonian, and Dylan Villanueva, and Mia Kelman.
Lastly, thank you to Jordan Silver, Gabriella Leverett, Jesse McLean, Caroline Haywood, Shayna Hortzman, Daisy Cruz, Danielle Jensen, and Awa Okaladi for marketing the show and making us look so damn good.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.